Perek Gimel, Mishnah, Beis, Chapter 13, the second Mishnah. This Mishnah teaches us how much of other weaving or sewing activities must be done on Shabbos in order to be Chayav A, Korban Chatas. And a lot of this information is quite technical in terms of the weaving process. And so I will read a little bit out of the English Kahati, which will provide for us a little bit more of an explanation, although I definitely recommend perhaps going online and seeing a diagram. This way you can visualize a little clearer what I will be going to describe with words. Our Mishnah begins, Ha'osa shnei vate nirin binirin, one who sets two heddle frame loops of a home loop, of a keros, or of a commercial loom, by nafa, and one who positions the warp reeds of a sifter, Bakvara, a sieve, a sal, or a basket, all of these activities a person is chayav. So let's explain a couple of the terms that we just mentioned. Let's talk a little bit about a loom. A loom has two frames, each of which consists of four rods, or heddles, joined together to form a rectangle. And these two frames are suspended widthwise in the space of the loom between the two beams, to which the warp threads are in fact attached. And then these threads are attached to each frame, stretch along its length. The number of the threads in each frame is half the number of warp threads in the loom. So these rods, or in the words of the Mishnah, nirin, are named after the threads, because apparently the word for thread in Greek is a nirin. And so within these threads, there are these rings, or these loops, and the warp threads pass alternately between the loops of the two heddles. And when one heddle is raised, it lifts up all the warp threads inserted in it, thus creating a space between these threads and those in the other heddle, which were not raised. So the weft threads are introduced into the space, and this really is the act of weaving, of oreg. So the rings or loops through which the warp threads are passed are called bate nirin. So when our Mishnah said, one who makes these two loops, so sashne bate nirin, we're referring to a person who makes or prepares two rings or loops with heddles to form receptacles, these batim, for the two warp threads. Or, the truth is, if he even puts two warp threads in, this is what the second definition is, the nirin, in the sleigh. And this is really an implement with as many holes as there are warp threads. And again, each warp thread is placed in the hole. And after the weaver places the weft thread beneath the warp thread, he strikes the weft thread that he has brought in with the sleigh in order to place it next to the other threads that have already been woven. Other interpretations explain that in these kiros, what are they referring to? That it's a sheet woven from palm fiber. Another interpretation, which is given by the Rambam. Another interpretation actually says that what is this kiros? That is referring to an example where a weaver brings in three warp threads through these heddles, and the kiros, which is like almost this comb which comes to tighten them. Alright, the other words that require a little more of an explanation, what is this net, this sifter, banafa, and this bakvara, and this sieve? So just to provide a little more of a background information on that, the middle part of the Mishnah is actually talking about the person who positions the warp reeds of this nafa, the sifter, this kvara, the sieve, or the sal. Such a person is chayav. So really what's going on here is if a person makes these two enclosures in the weaving of a net, whether it's a sieve or a winnow, the difference is that a sieve has fine, dense holes for, let's say, sifting flour. The winnow has a bit larger holes because it sifts grain. Or if a person does this to just a regular basket, then you would be chayav, and a person would be obligated to bring a korban chatas. Mishnah concludes, Atovar shtei sfiros, the person who sews two stitches, the korea amanas lisfor, the person who tears in order to lispor shtei sfiros, if a person tears in order to sew two stitches, such individual is chayav. Again, we see here the notion it must be sewing two stitches for the person, although it appears to be destructive. A person should not be chayev, since a person is korea, a person who tears, it has a positive dimension to it. It's constructive, it's productive, because some condition, a menas list for state spheros, kind of like we saw earlier, that a person erases. A person must erase two letters, mochik, in order to be productive, because a person intends to write two letters afterwards. A korea, a person who's just destructive in their tearing, that would not obligate a person to bring a korban chatas if done b'shogeg gunshot. This last line in the Mishnah is actually a repetition of Mishnah we learned a few prakim earlier. The reason why it appears to be repeated according to the various commentators is because of the next Mishnah, which goes on to deal with this notion of what a person must do in order to be chayav for tofer on Shabbos. Mishnah Gimel, you'll see exactly how the end of Mishnah Beis connects to Mishnah Gimel. The Mishnah Gimel here is coming to teach us that purely destructive acts done on Shabbos are not chayav korban chatas. But if it's done as a preparation for constructive act, then a person would be chayav, and that amount is the same as a constructive act. Hakorea b'chamaso, or v'al meso, a person who tears in his anger or for the dead. A person is so distraught over the death of somebody, and they tear their clothing. A person is angry, and he wants to, you know, use the tearing of the clothes to appease his anger. V'chol makalkul, and any act that is destructive, tearing a person is exempt. Here it's important just to clarify that such an individual who is tearing their clothes, he is not obligated to tear clothing. He's not obligated in kriya. It's not a close relative of a person. If a person is obligated to tear kriya, and then a person does actually tears that kriya on Shabbos, they would be chayav. But a person who just tears their clothing just out of who's distraught over the death of somebody, then such an individual would be patar, because it's an act of kilko. But if they are obligated to tear over them, to tear kriya, whether it's one of their close relatives or a great Talmud Chacham that gives them tremendous anguish upon their passing, such an individual would not be patar for kriya on Shabbos. For those who actually said that a person who is korea because he's angry and his das is mitzvah sheves, he now is, his anger has been subsided. It was cathartic for such an individual to tear korea. And now he's a little bit more subdued. It could be that he actually did a positive, constructive act, and such a person would in fact be chayav and not patur. Here we see an interesting principle that even though a person might perform a destructive act, if it fulfills the mitzvah of the Rabbanan, if it fulfills the mitzvah that the sages said a person must do, a person must tear kriya for him, see whom is a person who perishes, or Talmud Chacham, one of their seven close relatives, such an individual, by fulfilling the mitzvah of the Rabbanan, actually is not doing a destructive act, but a constructive act, and therefore they would not be patur, but they would be chaya for korban chatas. The Mishnah concludes, a mekalkel, a menas l'saken, a person destroys in order to repair. Again, we alluded to this in the previous Mishnah, Shi'uro kimis sakein. The minimum measure of liability is the same as the repair, which would be shnei tefiros, two stitches.